It's under advisement. We're going to go on to the last case of the day. 052968, Jambalier versus Alberto Gonzalez.
Yep.
Good morning.
Good morning.
May it please the court. William Kissett on behalf of Mr. Valerie. In his petition for review, Mr. Valerie challenges the Board of Immigration Appeals decision finding him ineligible for a waiver of inadmissibility under Section 212C. Before the IJ, Mr. Valerie was found eligible for said relief, and the IJ further found that Mr. Valerie merited a favorable exercise in discretion, finding that his one conviction was clearly outweighed by his over 33 years of legal permanent resident, service in the U.S. military, stable employment, and the fact that he was the sole surviving parent of a 7-year-old who had lost his mother to cancer. Before the IJ and before the Board of Immigration Appeals, the government did not challenge Mr. Valerie's eligibility for 212C. Their only objection was the favorable exercise of discretion. In their brief, they actually concede that he's eligible. The appeal sat before the Board of Immigration Appeals for about a year and a half until the Board reversed based on the ruling in matter of Blake. Mr. Valerie today presents three arguments. One, that matter of Blake violates equal protection, that it is impermissibly retroactive, and that it contradicts the holding in INS versus St. Cyr Supreme Court decision. Mr. Valerie first argues that the ruling in Blake violates his right to equal protection because it discriminates against him on the basis of a wholly irrelevant and fortuitous fact that he was charged as being removable rather than inadmissible. For instance, had Mr. Valerie traveled outside the U.S., on his reentry to the U.S., he would have been charged as being inadmissible for having committed a crime involving moral turpitude and would most surely have been eligible for his 212C relief. This was precisely the issue in Francis versus INS, where the Second Circuit, which was later adopted by the Seventh Circuit in Varum Parambo, the Second Circuit required that 212C be made available to a qualifying resident, regardless of whether or not the person has departed the U.S., as long as if the person were to depart, she would be eligible to apply for 212C to waive a ground of inadmissibility upon her return. The fact that Frances had not departed was an irrelevant and fortuitous factor that could not rationally justify distinguishing between an LPR being charged with inadmissibility and those charged with deportability. The court reasoned that fundamental fairness dictates aliens who are in like circumstances but for irrelevant and fortuitous factors be treated in a like manner. Mr. Valerie does not dispute that Congress has the power to create different standards for admission or for deportability. But once those choices are made, individuals in a certain group may not be subject to disparate treatment on criteria wholly unrelated to any legitimate governmental interest. And under the minimal scrutiny test, those distinctions must be reasonable and not arbitrary and must rest upon a ground of difference having a fair and substantial relationship to the object of legislation, so that all persons similarly circumstanced are treated equally. So an individual who has the same conviction should not receive a benefit because he departed compared to an LPR who arguably has more connections to the United States because he hasn't left. This was later, Francis versus INS was accepted by the board in matter of Silva. In regard to the second argument, retroactivity, Mr. Valerie also argues that the ruling in Blake requiring comparable grounds for non-drug-related aggravated felonies has an impermissible retroactive effect on his application for inadmissibility under Section 212C.
Why is retroactivity even an issue here? Because the state of the law as it existed at the time that your client was convicted was exactly the same. So the Blake decision really didn't change anything, neither did the regulation.
And that's our point. But based on matter of Blake, the Board of Immigration Appeals ruled that the comparable analysis must have a statutory counterpart. It only exists when similar language is used to describe both the ground of deportation and the ground of inadmissibility. Therefore, they further reason that sexual abuse of a minor has no explicit statutory counterpart because the words aggravated felony or sexual abuse of minor don't appear in the inadmissibility section of the act. The board also held that sexual abuse of a minor does not have a counterpart in the crime involving moral turpitude and admissibility charge.
But the statutory counterpart requirement predated your client's conviction. So how is that requirement being retroactively imposed here?
Because prior case law, this was a new comparative analysis that they came up with. In matter of Blake, they argue that they just codified the previous case law. But that's not correct because in the previous case law, you didn't require that the words aggravated felony or sexual abuse of a minor appear in the inadmissibility section. It was more a straightforward test that was applied, such as France's, where they decided relief on whether the LPR's crime would have made him inadmissible if he had traveled abroad and returned. Now, in the government's brief, they argue it's not retroactive because of all these cases, but they compare it to firearms offenses. And we think one of their analogies in matter of Blake was based on the conclusion that sexual abuse of a minor offenses are similar to firearm possession offenses because the latter, firearm offenses, have never been held to be counterparts. Therefore, it must be the same for sexual abuse of a minor cases. But that's just not correct. That's a bad analogy because sexual abuse of a minor cases, they've always, virtually every type of sexual abuse case, involves a crime involving moral turpitude or would be found to be a crime involving moral turpitude. Therefore, we think that this new comparability test creates a retroactive effect because it creates something that didn't exist at the time that Mr. Valerie pled guilty. And really, in essence, at the time he pled guilty, he wasn't even deportable because at that time it was not considered an aggravated felony. And so, you could think the point where at the time that he pled guilty, you know, his attorney goes to him, well, this is not a deportable offense, but just to let you know, if you leave the country, it is a crime involving moral turpitude and you'll be inadmissible. But you do have this, don't worry about it, you'll have this 212C eligibility or waiver available. I see I'm almost running out of time.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. Patricia Smith representing the respondent, Alberto Gonzalez. The Board of Immigration Appeals' decision in matter of Blake, as well as the regulation discussed therein, 1212.3F5, are consistent with precedent of this Court, the Supreme Court's decision in St. Cyr, and longstanding precedent of the Board. Not that the regulation or matter of Blake has an impermissibly retroactive effect or violates the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution. Consequently, the Court should deny the petition for review.
What authority would have supported that ineligibility? Your argument that Valerie would have been ineligible for for Section 212C relief even prior to the passage of 1212.3F5 and matter of Blake?
He would have been ineligible for it back in 1994, is your question, Your Honor? Because this is all prior to ARERA and the amended definition of aggravated felony. So in 1994, he wasn't deportable. So 212C would have been irrelevant to him, and he wouldn't have relied on it. One of the arguments that relates to St. Cyr is that part of St. Cyr's discussion with determining that the repeal of 212C wasn't retroactive was the alien's reliance on 212C. Here the alien could not have relied on 212C because, in fact, he wasn't deportable in 1994 at the time that he pled guilty. Before turning to the actual issues before this court, it is important to point out, though, that an issue not before the court is whether ARERA's 1996 amendment of the definition of ag fel, which, among other things, expanded the definition to include sexual abuse of a minor, is applied retroactively. This issue was answered definitively by this court in 2001 in Flores-Leon, where the court concluded that Congress clearly manifested an intent to apply the amended definition of ag fel retroactively. The court determined that Section 321B of ARERA left aliens no room to argue otherwise because such section contains a clear and express directive from Congress that the amended definition of ag fel should be applied to any and all criminal violations committed by an alien after his or her entry into the United States, regardless of whether they were committed before or after the amended definition went into effect. In St. Cyr, the Supreme Court also recognized Congress's intent to apply ARERA's amended definition retroactively, discussing Congress's willingness to indicate unambiguously its intention to apply the amended definition of aggravated felony retroactively. The significance of this point is that in examining the issues in this case, it is necessary to apply the amended definition of aggravated felony to consider petitioner's 212C claims. That is, in determining whether a petitioner would have been eligible for 212C relief at the time he pled guilty in 1994, we must determine whether he could have obtained 212C relief in 1994 for an aggravated felony conviction of sexual abuse of a minor. With this backdrop, I turn to the issue of whether matter of Blake and 1212.3FI have an impermissibly retroactive effect. The regulation in the board's decision applied longstanding precedent, which holds that an alien may not obtain relief under 212C of the INA unless there is a comparable ground of inadmissibility under Section 212A of the INA. In Blake, the board discussed much of this precedent. This court also upheld and explained this precedent in 1993 in Leo Rodriguez. The court explained the following. One, the 212C, by its literal language, originally offered relief only to aliens subject to exclusion. Two, that the INS subsequently expanded 212C to allow aliens who had departed and then reentered the United States to seek 212C relief based on its belief that aliens placed in deportation proceedings after being allowed to reenter the United States should not be in a worse position than aliens excluded in the first place. Three, that this created an inequitable result because an alien who had not left the country and was deportable could not seek 212C relief, but an alien who was deportable for the same reason, but who had left the country and then returned, could seek 212C relief. The fourth point the court made in Leo Rodriguez was that the Second Circuit in Francis found such distinction as not rationally related to any legitimate purpose of the statute and struck it down as violative of the Due Process Clause of the Fifth Amendment. And five, the Board of Immigration Appeals then adopted the Second Circuit's reasoning in matter of Silva. This court further explained in Leo Rodriguez, citing to board precedent, that only certain deportable aliens may receive exclusion-type relief, as if they were subject to exclusion rather than deportation. For the alien to be able to obtain 212C relief for his or her ground of deportability, there must be a comparable ground of exclusion. Thus, the court affirmed the Board of Immigration Appeals' denial of 212C relief to the alien who was deportable due to his entry without inspection, given that there was no comparable ground for exclusion under 212A. Consequently, the board's decision in Blake, as well as 8 CFR section 1212.3F5, simply apply longstanding precedent of this board and this court and are not impermissibly retroactive. They also do not run afoul of St. Cyr. In St. Cyr, the Supreme Court simply determined that ARERA's elimination of 212C relief in 1996 cannot be applied retroactively to aliens who pled guilty at a time when they would have been eligible for 212C relief. St. Cyr did not hold or suggest in any way that the comparability test should not be applied in determining whether an alien could obtain 212C relief. In fact, both the First and Second Circuits have both applied the comparability test following St. Cyr. Turning now to the equal protection issue raised by petitioner. In Leo Rodriguez, in addition to refusing to expand 212C relief to a ground of deportability for which there was no ground of inadmissibility, the court dismissed the alien's equal protection challenge, wherein the alien asserted that there was no legitimate government interest justifying denial of 212C relief to him when such relief was available to others who had committed more serious crimes. The court thus declined to expand the availability of 212C relief to grounds of deportability for which there was no ground of exclusion, explaining that although 212C had been judicially expanded to cover certain grounds of deportability, the justification for such expansion does not dictate a further expansion of 212C relief to aliens deportable for different but arguably comparable offenses. Similarly, here there is no justification for expansion of 212C to cover grounds of removability for which there was no ground of excludability. Petitioner asserts otherwise, arguing that because his underlying offense could be viewed as a crime of moral turpitude, he should be eligible to seek 212C relief. The Board of Immigration Appeals soundly rejected such argument in 1984 in Matter of Wadud, 19 INN December 182, which is cited in Matter of Blake. The Board explained that to expand 212 relief on such a basis would result in an anomalous situation, in that it would reward those aliens guilty of a more egregious offense. That is, it would make 212C relief available for aliens whose crimes constituted crimes of moral turpitude, but not for aliens whose crimes did not amount to crimes of moral turpitude. As discussed in Blake, following Wadud, the Board repeatedly concluded that the relevant question in determining whether an alien is eligible for 212C relief is whether there is a comparable ground of excludability for the ground of deportability, not whether the underlying defense resulting in the ground of deportability is a crime of moral turpitude. As noted in our brief, the Board's approach to determining whether an alien is eligible for 212C relief has been accepted by several circuits, including this circuit. Further, the Second Circuit's decision in Francis and the Board's decision in Silva are not to the contrary. In these cases, the concern was with treating deportable aliens similarly. Prior to such decisions, a deportable alien who had left the country and then returned was eligible to seek 212C relief, while a deportable alien who had not left the country was not able to seek 212C relief. Francis and Silva sought to treat equally aliens deportable on the same ground. Petitioner here is treated similarly to other deportable aliens. Consistent with the longstanding board and circuit precedent, he and other deportable aliens cannot seek 212C relief when there is not a corresponding ground of excludability for the ground of deportability. What petitioner, in effect, is seeking is for excludable and deportable aliens to be treated similarly. However, under the INA, there have been differences between deportable and excludable aliens. No court has found such statutory scheme in violation of the Equal Protection Clause. In fact, in Laguerre versus Reno, 164 F3rd 1035, and Turkin versus Perryman, 188 F3rd 814, this court determined that a rational and indeed sensible reason can readily be assigned to Congress's more lenient treatment of excludable as distinct from deportable aliens. The court thus found that aliens' equal protection challenge is meritless. The court explained that the more lenient treatment afforded excludable aliens created an incentive for deportable aliens to leave without them being ordered to leave at government expense because they would have the opportunity to seek a waiver should they return. In summary, the court should deny the petition for review because 8 CFR 1212.3F5 and Matter of Blake do not have an impermissibly retroactive effect and are not in violation of the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution.
Thank you, Ms. Smith.
Government art refers to Leal Rodriguez. And that case can be
mathematician. Yes.
I'm sorry. That case can be distinguishable because it involves two groups of aliens convicted of different crimes. That's not the situation. We're talking about one. If you set the two groups, convicted of the same crime, and the only difference is one is charged under the inadmissibility section and the other one is charged under the removability section. One travels, one doesn't travel. One who travels gets the benefit, and the one that doesn't does not. And I think most of the cases that counsel referred to, you know, relate again to firearm offenses, and not specifically the issue of sexual abuse of a minor. You know, until Blake, it was never discussed. And firearm cases are distinguishable because some firearm cases can be crimes of all moral turpitude, and some can't. And so we ask that you grant our petition for review.
Thank you. Thank you to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement. The court will be in recess until Monday morning at 9:30.